Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I miss her so much. That's Ann Feeney, the fabulous Ann Feeney. And, yeah, she was talking about us. She was talking about all of us in community radio, public radio, mostly community radio, though. This is Carol, very happy to be here with you on Coast Community Radio, KMUN. KTCB and KCPB, we've got it all right here for you and us. And most of us are plugging our hearts out even during this difficult year, and we hope that you will help out by going to coastradio.org or KMUN.org and hit that donate button. Make a donation to the station. Can name any one programmer. Arts, fabulous, thank you. But any program will do. This is, we're all here for all of you. Ann Feeney, she's still here. You just heard her. But her body left the planet. And tomorrow, April 3rd at noon Pacific time, it's all over the country, of course, is her wake, because Anne was a good Irishman. Irish woman. The best labor folk musician in the country, according to Utah Phillips, and he would know. So you want to give a donation in Anne's name or in anyone else precious to you, please do. And I'm sending out special healing wishes to Sue Z, Frederica and Ben Frederica, Earl Newman, Jeannie McLaughlin, Jeannie McCleary, excuse me, and to you, if you are in need of healing, and aren't we all. And a big thank you to those of you who have contributed to the radio station so far, some of you even for arts. Thank you, Lisa, M.A., Jack, and some others. We appreciate it. So, to keep us happy and going and on that left of your dial, in case you didn't know what that refers to, most of you, I think, do, especially if you drive around with your radio on. Most of the non-commercial radio is 92 and under. That is to the left of your dial. So if you're in a place you don't know, just check it out. Now, there are a lot of other things there, too. So watch what you're getting. Listen up a little bit, and you might want to switch away. But that's where most of the good community radio is. And we are 91.9. We just made it under the 92. Well, I have some folks to visit with you who are making things happen with some of my best beloveds. And that would be the Four-Footed. The Riverbend Players are doing a fundraiser. The fundraiser is for relief of food insecurity on the Oregon North Coast. And they perform at the North County River. Let's try that again. NCRD, North County Recreational District Performing Arts Center, which is in Nehalem. What are they performing? The Dog Logs by J.C. Johnson. That's where the Four-Footed come in. And here to tell us about that is the director, Linda McCohen. Linda, is that how you say your name?
Well, hi, Carol. It's long time no hear from you. Linda McCohen.
Oh, my goodness. With this spelling, huh? Okay, I better write that down.
You're the one millionth person who got it wrong, so no sweat.
Well, who changed the spell? It looks as though, or it sounds as though it should be Scottish or Irish, but it's spelled as though it's something entirely different. So
it is. It's actually Ukrainian.
Oh, wow.
But that's another story.
Okay. then it's probably got a different ending, too. We'll talk. But right now, you're here to tell us about the Dog Logs, and you are directing, and with you is Marilyn Carr. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, hi, Carol. It's nice to hear your voice again, too. And I just want to tell you, I'm also to the left of 92. Me.
Thank you. Well, Marilyn, I discovered when I was trying to put you in my computer, well, not squeeze you in there, but your address, that you were with me on Arts, I think, like 4 years ago or something.
Yes, I believe so.
Yep.
That Love, Loss, and What I Wore.
Oh, God, that was funny. So you two are here. Now, Marilyn, you're one of the cast members. I have no idea how you're doing it. Let's just tell folks this is what they're calling live virtual on stage at the Performing Arts Center of the North County Recreational District. It's happening a week from tonight and Saturday night at 7 p.m. and then on Sunday at 2 p.m. So what does this mean, live, virtual, and are you actually going to do three different performances, or what's going on?
Do you want me to take that, Marilyn? we were sitting around our board meeting, Riverbend Players board meeting, and thinking, well, what can we do? We really want to do something. Our actors want to do something. And I had this play I'd picked out several years ago thinking it was of interest to me. But it turns out that it was good for this venue because it was very versatile. You could have one person performing. You could have 14 of the 14 characters. You could have, you could eliminate objectionable words. You could eliminate a monologue if you wanted to.
Oh.
And the fact that it was one person at a time lent itself to safety regulations that we're under right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all eager to do it. Now, figuring out how actually to do that...
Yeah.
Getting back to your question. So we are actually having a rehearsal tonight and working all those details out. But what we're hoping to do is have live actors on stage along with a program that we put together with pictures that include dogs and text and that kind of thing, that you wouldn't have a program. If you were in the audience, you'd have a paper program in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But at home, you don't have that. So we're going to have a virtual portion of it that will kind of describe each, monologue, who's coming up, who they are, and so on, credits and so on. And so we will stream the live actors. We will stream them out through our Facebook page.
So you're not, are you actually doing three performances next weekend and streaming each one separately? Or
yes. If we had an audience, that's exactly what we do.
That's right.
We perform it three times.
Yep.
Or even six times, depending on how much we went.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're going to do it three times. Right, Marilyn?
That's correct.
Okay. It's a good thing you're agreeing, Marilyn, because otherwise we'd be in big trouble. So, now before I want you to tell us what this, the Dog Logs, of course, I'm immediately attracted to it without even knowing what it is, but you're going to be playing to an empty theater. Is that correct? Or will you have perhaps some family or spread out all over the place or?
Well, my understanding is we'll be looking right at the camera.
Well, the
that's
other
our audience.
Will be there.
Okay, now I need only.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I cut over Marilyn? So sorry.
Okay, and does one of you have a radio on, perhaps? No.
At the moment?
No.
Okay,
because
I
don't.
I hear a high pitched sound. So, okay. So now, Marilyn, you want to tell us what your understanding is?
Well, we're all monologues. We're all on separately. Some have more than one role. And we're all a different breed of dog. And some are sad, some are funny, some are hilarious. It goes the whole gambit.
Are you wearing a costume?
No. No, we're not to be in costume.
Okay.
Maybe something that represents the color of the dog, but not really costumes.
So you have to make this as believable as possible without props, basically, right?
That's correct.
Wow. This is going to be
fun. And she can do it, Carol.
Well, I have seen Marilyn do things on stage. Yes, I believe it. How many folks do you have, since you said you have 14 or 16 monologues?
Right. There's actually 9 actors.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started out with as many as we had, and some people had to drop out due to health reasons and so on. So then it turned out that some people got more than one part because we had backups to begin with, you know, understudies. So so Marilyn ended up with 2 different breed parts.
So Marilyn,
so each breed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to ask you, Marilyn. Can you tell us something about each of your parts that totally differentiates them?
Yes. Yes. One of them is entitled Savoir Faire. It's a greyhound, and it's in fairly short blurts, you know, a few paragraphs, 3 times throughout the performance. And the idea is that this greyhound is one day going to catch that stupid rabbit.
Okay. Single-mindedness. That's good.
Yes. Yes, Carol. That's right.
And who's your other?
Maddie. Maddie is a 5-year-old golden retriever.
Ah.
And she tells her life story.
Ah.
From the time she's young and what she thinks of the boys and motherhood. And it's a beautiful story, but it's very, very emotional.
Oh, my. Oh, that's my kind of dog. Golden retrievers, that is. Emotional or otherwise. They're so smart, too. So the person who wrote, and it's the person's name is J.C. Johnson, so I don't know if that's a man or a woman. Do you?
Well, actually, I want to say it's C.J. Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
If you got that. If we gave you that wrong information, I'm sorry. I apologize for that, but it's C.J. Johnson.
Okay.
I believe it's a man.
Okay. And do you know anything about him? Was he a dog lover, or was he basically putting human...
he is an Australian. If that tells you, he says it the way he sees it.
Okay. And
that's for sure.
I'm just wondering whether these dogs are actually representing dogs, or whether they're, what's that word when you take, you put human attributes on an animal?
Well, I would have to say you could say that about every one of the monologues, because there's a lot of people emotion in there. Although I'm not saying that dogs don't have emotion, but I'm just saying some of the words around the stories definitely come from a human brain, wouldn't you say, Marilyn?
Yes, yes.
I think it's anthropomorphism or something like that.
Yes.
So have you been having fun with this? Everybody's learning their own parts. So is it much less community interaction than a usual theater production?
Absolutely.
It really is,
you know,
Carol. We've been
Carol,
doing our
been the strangest
practices
experience
basically via Zoom.
Wait. Somehow or other, you're not hearing each other, so I'm not sure why, but okay.
Well, Marilyn, you go ahead and explain, Marilyn, how it's been for you as an actor.
And then, Linda, you can come after. Okay, Marilyn?
I was just saying that most of it has been on Zoom, our practices.
Oh.
And now we're in the theater practicing, so we're live watching each other. But it's been really, really interesting to watch on Zoom, which is new for me anyway.
I think for all of us.
It's become social now.
Okay. Well, that's good. So you still have that theater family feeling.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but for me, that's one of the best parts of doing theater is you develop a relationship amongst one another. And it's amongst the group, and it's pretty powerful bonding. So I'm glad that
you're absolutely right about that, Carol. And that has been, I think, for me, the most difficult part is trying to make that happen for everybody. And it's hard to do over the waves, you know. It happens when you get together.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's starting to happen. I feel that people are getting more comfortable with each other and becoming friends. And so that family aspect you talk about is definitely very, very important. And it's more difficult to do in this way that we're doing it. So.
Well, good for you guys for stretching and experimenting and offering it to the public. Are you looking forward to, I'm also glad to see that Riverbend is holding together because I was going to ask a silly question. Are you looking forward to the future when you will be able to come back and do something a little, well, theater is never normal, but a little more normal in production?
Absolutely. We're chomping at the bit to do something. We've got our play selection committee going to search out some new things, but we had already decided to do Steel Magnolias. We were going to do that last fall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're aiming to do that perhaps in the fall, but it's not decided yet.
Yeah.
Depending on how we're doing, yeah.
And it's this is a fundraiser for to help with relief of food insecurity on the Oregon North Coast. Do you have some organizations there that work with that?
Yes, we do. Well, of course, we have North Tillamook County Food Bank, but we also have a local grocery store, the Little Apple, has their own fund where they give out food from their store. And there's also the church, the Methodist Church in Halem, has several programs. There's Meals on Wheels, there's Senior Food, there's Grub Club, several programs out of the church as well. So we're just gather whatever money we can get together, we will split up and help our local North County area.
Okay, and this is by donation, is my understanding. Is that correct?
That's right. There is no ticket sales here. It's strictly for donations for the food insecurity relief.
Great. Okay. Can I go backwards a little bit? Linda McAhon, is that right?
Perfect.
Oh, phew. what is your theater background? Have you been directing for a while now? Are you usually on stage? Are you ever on stage?
I normally am on stage. I've done more of that or crew work, you know, backstage work.
Mm-hmm.
This is my second time directing by myself as opposed to, like, co-directing or helping.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I was ready to go. I've been looking to do this play for a while.
Great. And it is going to be on your Facebook page, but is it true that people without Facebook should be able to access it? or do you know?
We're still working on that. I believe the last I heard that you actually have to be a Facebook member in order to do that, but we're also looking into another, a different kind of application that could work for everybody.
That would be great.
I don't have an answer for you on that, but okay. We do have, Riverbend Players does have a Facebook page, so the link will be on that. Mm-hmm. Donations, we'll have a link set up on our webpage, riverbendplayers.org, mm-hmm. for the donations.
Okay. And Marilyn, tell us briefly your theater background.
Well, I have no professional background for sure, but I did start when we first had it in the early 2000s. We had Riverbend Players, and I did a few plays then, and it was different. We just did them in our senior room, we called it, a beautiful room in our facility. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done anything since 4 years ago.
Aha.
When I saw you, Carol.
Okay.
So when I saw that Linda was directing and it was about dogs, and I have a dog that's very special to mm-hmm. me. He's a certified therapy dog, and up until this last year we've worked at Shriners Hospital in Portland. Mm. That between Linda and having a dog and loving dogs, I thought, boy, I got to try out for this.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, I hope that you're...
And I'm glad she did.
Me too. please register my vote for figuring out how to allow non-Facebook people to watch, because I'm a dog lover and I enjoy Riverbend Players. And I am not a Facebook member, so I'm hoping that there'll be a way for me to see it too. Folks, this is live, virtual, on stage at the PAC. That's the Performing Arts Center of the North County Recreational District in Nehalem. But you're going to see it virtually on the Facebook page, and hopefully somehow we're all going to see it. A week from tonight, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., that's April 9th and 10th, and then 2 p.m. Sunday on the 11th, just like a normal theater production, Friday, Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday. Thank you so much for coming and joining me. And in case you tuned in late, folks, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, this is Arts Live and Local from the parking lot, right here at KMUN in Astoria. Linda McAhon and Marilyn Carr are not in Astoria. I'm not sure where they are. Where are you, Linda?
I'm in Manzanita.
Manzanita. And?
And I'm in Rockaway Beach.
Rockaway Beach. So the miracle of technology. Well, it's not just a miracle. It's hard work, and it's support by people who care about keeping this kind of radio on the air to the left of your dial. So be sure to go to coastradio.org, put a drop in the red button, and support work like this, because without staff, I'm looking right at him right now, he's waving at me, Nevada's in there. I could not be doing this show. And without Graham having figured it out to begin without all of our staff here at KMUN, we wouldn't have this station during this pandemic. So as I salute the theater folks, Riverbend Players, I also want to salute KMUN, Coast Community Radio. Thank you so much, Linda and Marilyn. I don't know whether you're still, I guess you're doing it live, so break a leg next week. And
thank you.
Okay. Have a great show.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you, Carol.
Now. You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we've got some more music for you. It is still Passover, folks. The holiday is 8 days, and it started last Saturday night. And I've got a piece from Rabbi Reisel, Raphael, And I think you'll recognize the melody and see how it all binds together. This is KMUN. Astoria 91.9, KTCP Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, P.O. Box 269, Astoria 97103. And after we're off the air, or maybe even now, I don't know, you can call us with your donations, 503-325-0010. And mention all those incredible programmers who are doing their shows at home. It's astounding. Take care, and let's have a listen. Oh, yeah. By the shores of the Red, Red Sea, by the shores of the Columbia River, wherever you are, I hope that you are dancing. That's the beauty of dance, the beauty of art. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with others. And it brings joy and always helps in healing. Art saves lives. And here at Coast Community Radio, KMUN, we hope to be part of that movement. Well, I've got three people on two lines. This is yet another experiment. But they're all veterans and good sports. And they are professional artists and instructors, teachers, professors, leaders. The reason they're here is that the Clatsop Community College Faculty Show Plus is happening, and it is from April 8th until May 13th at the Royal Nebaker Gallery. I was just up there, and in the transition between shows, I picked up my cinnamon, giant-ass cinnamon bun boxes with beautiful artwork on each one of them. And the gallery is empty except for one fabulous wall. And here to tell us about what that wall is and what's coming next week are the director of the gallery and the full-time faculty at the college, Kristen Schock. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Okay, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, good. And thanks for separating my treasures out. I'm delighted to have them. Kristen teaches painting, drawing, and design at the college.
And now art history.
Oh, okay. And now art history. Right, it keeps adding on. That's great. Okay. And with you is Lucian Swerdloff. Hi, Lucian.
Hey, Carol.
All right. You guys sound good. And Lucian, why don't you tell folks what you teach? Because I can never quite get it right.
Well, I forget sometimes myself. So I'm here because I teach graphic design courses in the art department, but I also teach drafting computer-aided design courses, which are kind of related to graphics, and then I'm also doing the historic preservation program, where we work on restoration and documentation of all of the wonderful historic buildings that we have in Astoria and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, and that was a brilliant concept to take what we have here and figure out how to implement a program at the college in the arts, working with our community, our landscape, our buildings and treasures here. So,
there's some relationship to the arts too. Actually, Kristen did a workshop for us a couple of years ago on faux finishing, which is a historic technique that was used in a lot of the old buildings, but it's also an art. So using paint to replicate other materials like wood and marble and granite.
Ha! Huh. And what did you call it?
faux.
Oh, faux, as in false, fake. We know about that these days. Yes. Only this is a positive use.
Yes, this is positive faux.
Good foe. Good trouble, good foe. Our third guest today is Ben Rosenberg. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing? Happy ending of Passover.
Thank you. Same to you and Lucian and Kristen, you too, and to all our listeners. Ben, what I think of you as a printmaker, but I see that in this show you have watercolors. Is that right?
Well, I do have some prints that I'm going to bring, and I have three watercolor pencil drawings that I did recently, and I can talk about it if you want. But so I'm going to bring a lot of work, and I guess they're going to help me decide.
I see. Curate the.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know whether you got to hear the first part of Arts Live and Local from the parking lot today, but it was about a show that's being put on called The Dog Logs. And I noticed that one of your pieces, Toot My Horn, which it was absolutely delightful. Can you tell us about that? Is that a dog know? Or
so that was that's a large monotype I did last year. And what it is it started as a collage, taking Vermeer paintings and fashion pictures.
Uh-huh.
And by Doc Sound Muso, M-U-S-O, who was otherwise known as a really bad, bitey Doc Sound. And I combined all these pictures, and there was a lot of Vermeer paintings where there was, you know, musical instruments and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put the collage together, and then I made a large-scale monotype based on the collage that I made from that. And I did a couple of collages that were based on mixtures of art references to Vermeer and then present-day fashion pictures, and then either taking my dog, Muso, or my cat, Bunny. So...
Do they know that they are being featured? I mean, have they seen the pictures? Do they approve?
Well, they really don't want to talk about it. And I did get a lawyer letter the other day, and there's some...
I see.
So that... they kind of put their paw out in front of their face, and they say, I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Very cool, very cool. And you also have a portrait of John Ossoff from Georgia.
Yeah, so long story short, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock.
Yep.
Reverend Raphael Warnock.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend before, trying to get the date right, so it would have been Tuesday, January 5th. I really wanted them to win.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of people did. And so I said to myself, well, if I do a portrait of each of them, they will win. So.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you very
much. I don't know if I take credit for it, but I did a portrait of each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they won. And then we had that disastrous.
Yes. January 6th.
And my heart really went out to Brian Sicknick, who was the officer that was killed in the Capitol.
Horrible. Yeah.
Riot. So I also did a portrait of him recently. I started it that week, but the problem was I couldn't find any images of him online because he was just,
an unknown
job.
Yeah.
So he's been on my mind quite a bit, and I did a portrait of him, which I'm going to bring. I don't know if going to go up, but
so good.
That's what I have to work with.
Good. Okay. Well, Kristen, I saw just two pieces of yours, and they were quite different. One of them was a charcoal portrait of your mom, age 91.
Yes.
And it was beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I started that actually as a demo for my class, and we were doing big head portraits last fall. And so we were working from photographs because we couldn't have a life model.
Right.
To do the face, of course. We have life models, but they wear a mask. So to do our head studies, we worked from photographs. Mm-hmm. And so I started that as a demo and then kept going with it.
Well, it's wonderful. And I, both of the pieces that I saw of yours for the show are different from anything I've seen of yours. One was the charcoal portrait, and the other was a photograph.
Yes. I've been taking so many photographs during the pandemic. I go for long walks. I've done a series of beach walk photos, and I've done a series of forest walks and river walks. I didn't get them quite put together, but I do have a series of shadow self-portraits from the beach, river, and forest that I'll be showing, and also a few landscapes like the one that I sent for the press release that you saw.
Lovely. So had you not done photography before?
Well, you know, I've done it all my life. I don't consider myself a professional. I mean, I just took these with my cell phone. When I was out on a walk and I'd encounter all these, you know, we live in such a beautiful place. And it was just, you talk about healing in the arts. It's just also the environment and nature is so healing. I found that helped me so much to take these walks. And I just wanted to document what I was seeing along the way.
I want to mention that, and then this is a perfect segue to Lucian's work as well, which I have just seen, which is fantastic. But I have learned, I do not have a cell phone, as many of you know, but a lot of people say what you said, well, I just took the picture with my cell phone. Well, I have learned from our photography lightbox photography gallery and workshops that cell phones take, it depends on who you are and what kind of a cell phone you have, I guess, but take some of the best photos. So,
And that's the reason I got this phone. I wouldn't have needed such a fancy one, but I love the camera. And also the fact that you just always have it with you. So if you ever encounter a photo op, you have your camera with you.
Right.
It's wonderful.
Right. I've got mine with me. It's about the size of my hand. Mm-hmm. But it's a good camera, but it doesn't take telephone calls. I don't know what's wrong with it. So so Lucian, you have so many aspects to your professional art life, as you described some of it to us. What are you using for those gorgeous photos that I saw, and tell us what they are? I'm just going to say the term I got was man-made industrial objects in the landscape.
Oh, that sounds good. There we go. That's going to be the title.
There. okay.
Let me just start by saying that I'm low-tech when it comes to the cell phone, so I don't take any photographs with my phone. I use the old-fashioned camera.
Okay.
I guess digital cameras are old-fashioned now, but it's just a regular camera. So I've been, the past few years, I've been doing a lot of traveling in from the southwest to the northwest, I guess, Utah, Idaho, Nevada, Washington, and Alaska. And we went to Alaska together several years ago.
That's right, with Nancy Cook's trip. That was fabulous.
And just, you know, the landscapes are just incredible. I mean, you travel around this area and you realize that you don't have to go anywhere else. I mean, you just get these remarkable landscapes. You know, sometimes they're almost extraterrestrial looking. You know, you go through these landscapes, they, you know, that's where they did a space movie, you know, because it looks like that kind of a landscape. But I've noticed that, you know, wherever I go, it doesn't matter how remote of an area is, there's always something that somebody put there. You know, it could be a, you know, some kind of a device like a cell tower or a weather station, or just a piece of rusting metal, you know, an old truck or something. And I find those things just beautiful. It's, mean, I suppose I shouldn't do that because it's just people throwing garbage in the beautiful landscape. But just the colors and the way they decay. And so it's just that, so I'm calling this series intrusions. So it's kind of just this idea of these man-made objects that are intruding upon the natural landscape and slowly decaying away and going back to what they once were, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another interesting aspect of this is that as I was kind of researching this a little bit, a lot of these take place in these volcanic rock formations, which are beautiful. And there's a type of volcanic rock which is called intrusive rock.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of doing the same thing. It's when the magma kind of starts seeping through and inserting itself into other rocks. And so it's intruding upon those other rocks and changing them and making something different. And that's kind of part of the reason that you get all of these strata and variations in the rock. So that's kind of tied into this whole idea of these different kinds of components coming together and becoming part of the landscape.
Okay, but that would not qualify for man-made industrial objects, would it?
Well, they're intruding upon the landscape. You know, I mean, I guess so. There's that, you know, someone is putting them there. You know, whether it's the volcanic rock that's inserting itself into existing rock, or people that are inserting objects into existing landscape.
Yeah, it's the people part that
I mean, it has a very different connotation to it. And they're not all about that intrusive rock, of course, because some of them are from our area here, are, you know, on the beach or coastal, and it's a different kind of thing. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. That is just kind of another take on that idea of intruding.
Absolutely, you know.
But you're right. They're mostly about these man-made objects that are somehow purposefully or not purposefully inserted into these incredible existing landscapes.
I'm thinking that just that alone could, especially after Kristen said, taking walks on the river, on the ocean, etc. I like the idea of all of us, including myself, being able to perhaps see the landscape differently as well, instead of getting upset and at some of these intrusions, realizing that, number one, it happens in nature as well, as you just described, and then also that we can try to see the beauty in it. Not encouraging more of it, but still, what's there, it's there. And you certainly captured in your photographs. So you're going to be showing all photographs in this show. Is that correct, Lucian?
That is correct. If I get my act together, I'm going to actually make an intrusion in the gallery.
Really?
Some kind of object, but we'll see if that happens.
Okay. Speaking of what's in the gallery already, Kristen, tell us about that mural.
Well, that is a big mural-sized painting by Modu, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his last name. How do you think you say it, Lucian?
Dang.
He's a multidisciplinary artist. He's based in Portland, but I think he splits his time in Chicago. I think he's in Chicago right now. But his work has been up through the Cinnamon Box fundraiser show, and it will continue to keep it up through the faculty show, which is one reason we call it Faculty Show Plus. In addition to Deanna Antony, who will be bringing a piece up to be included, and she's going to be the judge for our big end-of-the-year celebration, our student show.
Is she a student as well?
Or? No. She's a professional artist. She's working on her MFA.
Okay.
She almost just earned it, and she's the artist-in-residence for AVA.
Ah, at the History of Visual Arts. Okay.
Yeah.
And
Anthony. Yeah.
Okay, and could you spell the last name that you can't pronounce of the art.
Yes, it's D-I-E-N-G.
D as in dog?
Yes.
Okay.
D-I-E-N-G.
D-I-E-N-G. Yeah. Dang.
I think oftentimes he's referred to as Modu. Ben knows him, right, Ben?
Yeah, well, I just know him. He used to throw a lot of parties at his studio. So I used to, I would just crash his parties at his studio back.
Uh-oh, another intrusion.
Yeah, another intrusion.
It's happening
right here.
I love it. It's happening all over the place. Okay, and then could you tell us, Kristen, name some of the other faculty?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course, Richard Rowland, who of the Astoria Dragon Kiln fame. Mm-hmm. He'll be showing some of his beautiful ceramic pieces. David Homer teaches photography. And ironically, he's showing drawings while the rest of us...
Oh, how funny.
A couple of us are showing photographs.
The one professional photographer
showing. That's... He might include some older photographs that he's taken, but he's done some beautiful abstract... He calls them drawings, but they're like... abstracts done with powder, like graphite and charcoal powder, and also the holy powder. You know, they use India for the holy festival?
Yes, which unfortunately was called off this year because of COVID.
Yeah.
Has David always been doing other arts in addition to photography?
I don't know if you know, but we call him David the Younger because, of course, David the Elder, which many of you out there listening might know,
our
photography instructor, David Myers. He was one of David's students and mine. He took my drawing classes. Of course, he has an art degree, so he's taken a lot of various art classes, including ceramics. He took Richard's classes, too.
Wow.
He does beautiful work. But, of course, his focus is photography. And I do want to make sure to mention Mickey Alasuza.
Definitely.
He's bringing up some beautiful prints.
Mickey has she been teaching printmaking these days?
Or? Maybe. So she's working full time at Napa High School.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully she'll be back at some point. But in the meantime, we also have Ben. We have two wonderful printmaking instructors. So we're really lucky that way.
This is a very rich art program at Clatsop Community College. If folks want to learn more about it, maybe how they can take classes, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to our website, www.clatsopcc.edu, and there should be a slider up at the top that'll take them to a page that will either they can fill out a form or they can come up to the Student Center and register in person. Our spring term is starting on Monday, so there's still time.
Oh,
still
wow. Okay.
Spring term.
Okay. And in the meantime, I highly recommend checking out the gallery. It is, if you just go up 16th Street as far as you can go from the downtown area in Astoria and take a left. And go as far as you can go, and you'll see the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. The show will be up April 8th through May 13th. Will you have some of the visuals on the website?
Yes, we just sent in the press release, so that should be posted soon. And we will be open 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. And, of course, mask wearing. And about 6 people at a time in the gallery so that we can be safe.
Good. Sounds great. And, it's a wonderful gallery to visit, too. And I want to thank my guests. That was Kristen Schock, you just heard, and Lucian Swerdloff, and Ben Rosenberg before that. And we are so, so fortunate in this small town of 10,000. The county is all of 37,000. We have a top-of-the-line radio station. Oh, did I say that? Yes, KMUN. Don't forget, coastradio.org. Hit the red button and drop your donation in. We have a wonderful art department at our community college. And we have a food co-op it's an amazing place to be. But if you don't live here, you can visit us virtually all the time, and especially these days. Thank you so much. Congratulations to you all. I'm really looking forward to seeing the show.
Thanks, Carol, and we hope to see everybody up at the gallery starting next week when the show is up. And donate to KMUN.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Take care, guys.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay.